The modern workplace, definitely not your grandfather's office. Several main employers have recently embarked on radical redesigns of their workspaces. Notice I did not say office spaces. That's because in many cases, these new designs do not include offices, not even for top executives. The new workspaces include flexible spaces, cafes, workout rooms, and one even has a ping pong table. There's glass and natural light and sustainable materials. It all sounds nice and expensive, but what's the idea behind these changes? Well, designers say employees are happier, healthier, and more productive. Employers say it helps them recruit quality talent in a competitive marketplace. I'm Jennifer Brooks. On today's program, we will look at some of the changes in the modern workplace. We'll also discuss smaller changes that can make a difference in any workplace. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Picture an office space, and what do you see? Rows of cubicles, maybe a couple closed-off offices for executives, maybe a small break room with a fridge and a microwave. Well, that picture is changing. The new workplace environment is yet less uniform, more flexible, and aims to be better for workers and for the environment. Today, we're going to learn about this new direction and how we work. Joining me in our studio, Kate Dempsey, Executive Director of the Nature Conservancy in Maine, Harry Hepburn, Licensed Architect and Principal at Bryburn Architecture Firm, and Alan Brown. He is Director of Ergonomics at MEMIC, where he focuses on workplace safety. As always, we want to hear from you. Does your office environment affect how productive you are? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Harry, what is driving the changes in the workplace today? Is it changes in the way we live our lives, technology, what we prioritize, all of the above?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of all of above. There's an interest, a stronger interest in sustainability and health and well-being in the workplace, and that conveys to how we organize space and create open office space and closed offices and more breakout spaces for short conversations, in addition to various sizes of conference rooms and spaces to meet.
I'm guessing that there are different priorities for different kinds of companies, different kinds of organizations, but there are some things that are sort of generally general trends for all kinds of companies, whether it's a nonprofit organization or a manufacturer or a law firm.
Yeah, I think it's finding the right balance of closed space and open space. And there has been a trend for wide open office space for better communication. However, there are downsides to that as well. So finding a good balance of open and closed space and various size breakout spaces so that small and large groups can find space that fits their needs.
So when a company's going to have a big redesign, really to do a lot of thinking and a lot of talking with each of the employees. And Kate, you're nodding away. So tell me, why is the Nature Conservancy here on a show about workspaces?
Yeah, you're
about the outdoors.
We're all about the outdoors. And we are in an old mill building in Brunswick in Fort Andros. And we've been there for 29 years. And we kept growing and changing and busting out walls. And it just wasn't working. And one thing we really want to do is tell the story of why space matters, whether it's indoors or out, and for our employees, but also for our visitors to be able to say nature matters wherever you are. And so we wanted to say, how do you take a mill space and celebrate the outdoors while being indoors? So, of course, we all know the big industrial mills have old, huge windows, so mill workers could have enough light. We suddenly have access to all those windows, and every person in the office visiting or who's sitting or walking around has access to looking over the Androscoggin River now, thanks to Harry's team.
So you have natural light, a lot of, I'm guessing, a lot of natural materials in your desks and things like that.
Yeah, what was one of the funnest pieces of work was as you know, Jennifer, we own land up on the St. John River and have done so for 20 years, and we harvest that land. And we wanted to tell the story of wood in Maine. And so we wanted to be able to harvest our wood on the St. John Forest and bring it into the space. And so now we have this amazing use of yellow birch all throughout the office, and it tells the story of Maine's forest economy as well.
So are you one of the new workspaces that has no personal offices?
We do have a few personal offices, and we tried to democratize this question, which was the only personal offices are really for privacy. So our human resources and finance director have personal office spaces. But then we said, who's out in the field? They don't need the prime space next to the windows. Who's at her desk more often? Those people should be closest to the windows, and those of us who are in meetings a lot, all the meeting spaces Harry mentioned has accessible natural light. And so you're always, no matter where you are in the office, you're getting natural light.
All right, I want to turn to you, Alan Brown. It must be music to your ears to hear people talking about things like space matters, because this is your life's work.
Oh, I feel that way sometimes, Jennifer. It's been probably 35 years I've been doing this. Over those years, we've seen what's called, I call it an enabling technology.
Mm-hmm.
It's the creep of technology into our lives. So great stuff makes us more efficient. But one of the problems is that we move less and less and less. And I go back to that great company called L.L. Bean at Freeport about 35 years ago. They were scratching their head about people having more neck, back, and shoulder injuries in the phone centers compared to the warehouse, and they realized that folks just weren't moving. So they actually embarked on creating dynamic workstations about 30-some years ago. So I always want to steal that thunder back for Maine, because it really, they're one of the first industries I can think of. Sans Thomas Jefferson, I mean, he stood up at his desk, but Beans was one of the first that kind of embarked on this.
And that was kind of radical back then, to talk about someone's workspace and how they were moving through it.
Very much so. They even created walking paths around the perimeter of the phone just to get folks to get up and move. They realized the value of movement. So the cool thing is, over the past 5 years, 10 years, I'm beginning to see the transformation throughout the state. You know, we get to go. We've been doing this for 25 years at MIMIC. This is our anniversary. And for the past 15, I travel around, so I get to see more and more industries slowly call folks like Harry up and go, Harry, we want to redesign our space. How do we do this? And it's kind of cool to begin to see this transformation.
Are there, Harry, any sort of simple things that, and I'll ask all of you this actually, that, you know, let's say I'm an employer, but I have two employees and I don't have the budget for a big redesign, but I kind of get it. I get that maybe the workspace could be better. It could be a friendlier, more productive place. Are there any sort of simple, discrete things I could do next week to improve the workplace?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's important to realize and to acknowledge that everyone works a little differently and their needs are a little different. So creating flexible workspaces is really important. Having height adjustable workstations is something that some people enjoy, but others don't. So having that that option is a good place to start. Using, and then you get to the idea of sustainability as well, and the type of light that you're getting. Using good LED fixtures and trying to mimic the light that you get outdoors, pulling the workstations away from the windows so that you get more natural light that kind of filters into the space is helpful, and also actually creating views to the windows is always something that's helpful as well. So those are a couple of things that you could start to think about when you're organizing your space.
Okay, what about you, Kate? What do you think that, what have you learned from your project that you would advise friends to think about?
Yeah, I was thinking about that question actually beforehand, Jennifer, because I thought, well, what if you're not doing something this big? And funny thing that we did, you're going to laugh, is that we took away trash cans. So, of course, we have a trash can in our kitchen, but to encourage people to get up from their desks, walk move around the office. You do little things. Put the printer in the most far away place so that you have to get up and walk to the printer. So the more things that you can do to incorporate activity. Plants, what we call biophilia, bringing the natural into the indoor space. The more plants you have, the cleaner the air is. And then the last shout I'll do is for all nursing parents and creating a space, a nursing room or a quiet room, even for someone who's not nursing, so they really could separate if they need to.
It's interesting to say that because you were talking about the open spaces, Harry, and you know, there's also a trend, isn't there, for a quiet space, not only for nursing but naps. Napping is sort of a trend. I've read
absolutely
at the workplace. Alan, what would you advise a workplace? How to just look around at your workplace differently and think about simple things you can do, even if you're a tiny little employer?
Yeah, we have a lot of those throughout Maine. And always asking, what do we do? What do we do? And there are enough small devices out there now, dynamic workstation apparatus that go on top of the desk, that and prices are being driven down simply because there's a lot more competition, that certainly you can create dynamic workstations. Those are the sit-stand. We call them dynamic, just because you can change throughout the day. Other simple things are I tell folks, park further away. You know, take the stairs. It's interesting. There's a book by James Levine, Dr. James Levine out of the Mayo Clinic. I was talking to Harry and Kate earlier about it, where when you look at the office, we move less and less and less. And we find that there's this activity called non-exercise activity thermogenesis, which are the little micro movements, which Kate was just referring to, like go to the printer. You know, go water the plant, the biophilia. I like that word. I'm going to use it in my report. You know, just movement around the office, that they find that folks that are leaner and have lower health risks actually move 2.5 hours more per day. And the average movement is about 5 to 10 minutes in length. And it's not going out to exercise. It's not running around. It's just those simple collection of mini movements throughout the day. So if you can find those in your office, even a walking meeting, take advantage of them, and you find that collectively, together, they make a huge difference in one's wellness.
And it's the right time of year to start maybe thinking about walking meetings.
Perfect. Except what? Don't trip and fall. That's a big issue for us.
For Mimic. If you'd like to join the conversation about the modern workplace, give us a call. 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. An email address, talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. I understand that your new building or your new redesign, Kate, is something that is at the standard of the WELL building standard. Now, I've heard of LEED certified. What's the difference? What's a WELL building standard? I'll let Harry, you answer that question.
Sure. So the WELL building standard is focused on the health and well-being of the occupants rather than the sustainability or the materials that you use. So, you know, we start thinking, and it does overlap a bit. So you start, you know, we're thinking about the lighting, the light levels and the color of the light. We're thinking about making sure that you provide for accessible showers to promote active lifestyles. So showers and locker rooms were one thing we provided at the Nature Conservancy space. There is biophilia, bringing plants into this workspace and so that you're sort of creating an extension of the outside in the office. So those are some of the things that we start to think about. Giving opportunity for plants and vegetables and easy access to those types of things is something that they promote.
Yeah, for us, you mentioned LEED certification. Obviously, as we were at the Nature Conservancy thinking about renovating, LEED was an absolute for us. And then we began to learn about WELL certification. And as an organization that wants to think about whole communities, how do we thrive as a community, thinking about renovating a space in downtown Brunswick, sticking with that space, was certainly an environmentally friendly act. But then what can we do for our employees? And we're the first organization, private or public in northern New England to get WELL certification. So we're hopeful that many people will start learning about it.
Is this still kind of a fringe conversation, Al, or is this mainstream? When you talk to all kinds of companies, are they talking about creating a better, more productive, happier, healthier workspace for their employees?
Maine it tends to be a little bit more mainstream, and I think the message has been out there for quite a while, simply because of our good friends at L.L. Bean. But we insure folks outside the state and across the nation, and for them, sometimes there's this scratching of the head wondering, what are you talking about in terms of a wellness environment in terms of the work environment? So there is yes and no. And the piece that Harry's bringing here and that came to Nature Conservancy, which is a little different, is the how'd you guys describe it? It's environmentally sound,
yeah.
That type of thing. We're beginning to see that is coming together along with the wellness mm-hmm. for the employees. So the blend of those things is relatively new, but the changing over to a more dynamic workstation has been here probably for the last 5 to 10 years.
All right. And Kate, how do you measure whether you were successful?
That we actually moved in a year ago to the back into the space that we had been in for 29 years. And as you mentioned, there's a big change process when you've been in a space and a lot of skeptics in the office saying, well, I liked my old office by myself. And frankly, people are coming up to me on the team and saying, this is better than I could have ever imagined. Mm. I'm working with colleagues that I never had lunch with. I'm having conversations. We're integrating our concepts more regularly. So frankly, the happiness and the productivity and innovation that's coming out of our team is really fun to see.
And that's part of the trend, right, for Harry, for the open workspaces, to have people actually just interact with each other on a more casual basis more often, that there is evidence to show that makes companies more successful in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that we took into consideration with this space, was trying to promote those kind of impromptu conversations and creating breakout spaces where you could break away from your desk, get up and move away, move around the office, get an opportunity to have those conversations that wouldn't have necessarily occurred in a walled office work environment.
All right. Well, we do need to take our first break. If you'd like to join the conversation, our number 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We're talking about the new workplace. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Maine General Health, offering advanced surgical care close to home. Learn more at mainegeneral.org. And Bar Harbor Savings and Loan, a local community bank dedicated to providing local personalized loan and deposit services since 1902. And Norris, helping businesses and schools stay safe through engineered security, life safety, and emergency communications systems. NorrisInc.com.
From around the world.
This is NewsHour from the BBC World.
Across the nation.
It's Morning Edition from NPR.
And here at home.
From Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ed Morin.
Maine Public Radio brings you news you can trust. We're committed to providing a valued and essential public service. It's at the heart of everything we do, connecting our communities and the world through a greater awareness and understanding of events, ideas, and cultures. Maine Public. Every day, it's
insightful.
It's thorough.
It's personal.
Fearless.
Every day, it's independent.
Support your public radio station on Super Thursday this Thursday or right now at mainepublic.org. Thank you.
Hello, Nina Totenberg here. So last night my husband was reporting to me about something he'd read, except that, of course, he'd heard it on NPR. Ah, yes. How many times has that happened to all of you? You talk with family and friends about stories you hear on Maine Public Radio and NPR. You laugh at the same points on Wait, Wait or Car Talk. And you even share a knowing glance when a car drives up next to you and he's listening to the same program. Knowing all that, you must know that making your financial contribution to Maine Public Radio also makes you feel as though you're doing your part. So go to Maine Public Radio's website and make your contribution right now. Best of all, it will count towards the Super Thursday one-day membership drive. And thank you.
Super Thursday coming up this Thursday, but you can contribute right now at mainepublic.org or by calling 1-800-866-1475.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, The Changing Workplace Environment. Joining me today, Al Brown, who is Director of Ergonomics at MEMIC, Kate Dempsey, Executive Director of the Nature Conservancy in Maine, and Harry Hepburn, Principal at Bryburn Architecture Firm. We invite you to join the conversation. Our number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Joining me on the line now is Lori Mitchell. She is Assistant Vice President of Global Well-Being and Health Management for Unum. Lori, thanks for calling in. What a title.
Well, thank you for having me. Yes, it is. It's a great title and it's a great job.
So the reason we have you calling in is I understand Unum is investing in a big overhaul of all of its offices. Tell us how it came about.
Well, it came about as really the need of to serve the need of our customers as well as our employees, and to create a work environment that fosters innovation, communication, collaboration, worker flexibility, and also worker well-being.
There's that word again, collaboration. What are some of the significant features of the new offices? If someone walked into a Unum office, what would they notice right away that's different?
Well, right away they'd notice that it's very open. There are no offices, including for our executives. I just recently moved into our new space, and everyone has a workstation. Some people are assigned or resident workers. Other people flex. So they can, they may work at home for part of the week. They may work in the office for part of the week. They may work in different neighborhoods when they're at Unum. And the other really nice thing about the space is that there is a lot of space for collaboration. We have focus rooms. We have huddle rooms. We, of course, have meeting rooms. But one thing that's very interesting and fun is our town centers, which enable people to meet up casually, to sit and have lunch. There are booths, there are tables, there are soft seating like couches, chairs. So people can work and meet wherever they want.
Interesting. So this is a costly project. I read $42 million. How is Unum going to measure whether the investment pays off in terms of worker happiness or productivity?
Well, we have a number of ways that we measure employee satisfaction. We do engagement surveys. We do well-being surveys. So we'll look at those measurement tools to see if we're having an impact. Like many workplaces, we're trying to help employees manage their energy and their well-being when they're at work, so they feel energized when they come into the workplace. So we have some measurement tools that will help us get at that.
Okay, so far so good?
So far so great.
Thank you so much for calling in. That's Lori Mitchell. She's with Unum, the Assistant Vice President of Global Well-Being and Health Management. Now joining me on the line, Nicole O'Brien, who is the Let's Go Program Coordinator for Operations with Maine Medical Center. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, how are you?
So what does Maine Medical Center do in terms of helping companies adopt healthier habits?
Yeah, so, you know, really there's some simple yet very effective changes that really all employers can make to increase staff wellness. Some of these, which we already touched upon on the phone call, you know, things like encouraging walking meetings whenever it's possible, even just communicating movement during meetings when you can't go outside and walk around. So let the employees know that it's okay to stand, stretch, and move while in a meeting. Also promoting healthy celebrations. So, you know, there's a lot of employee celebrations where people bring donuts and cakes. Just simple changes like bringing fruits and vegetables and providing them water and letting them know that, you know, we do healthy celebrations here. And again, we already had touched upon the quiet space. So really just having a quiet space, not only for mothers and pumping rooms, but maybe a room where employees can go and meditate, just where they can go and refuel and relax a little bit.
What do we know about the connections between office environment and people's health?
Yeah, you know, we're there so many hours in a day, so getting tired and, you know, having healthy options available for people is just really important.
All right. Well, thank you, Nicole. Nicole O'Brien, Program Coordinator for Operations of Let's Go with Maine Medical Center. We're going to go now to Lori, who's calling from Cape Elizabeth. Hi, Lori. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I work for a company located in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I'm a remote employee. And while working remote has, you know, in many ways been an ideal situation, I find that it's very limiting in terms of your ability to move or be active. And days will go by, in fact, where I won't leave the house because I will have had such a long day. I'm wondering if your guests are seeing organizations who have remote staff making considerations about the remote staff's working conditions.
Al?
Yeah, I can answer that question. I'm actually a remote staff for Mimic. I work out of my home, or my field office, as I call it. I've set it up. It's no different there than it is in Mimic's headquarters down here on Commercial Street, which has been totally redone, a dynamic very much like Kate and Harry have talked about. And I've retrofitted with a dynamic or a sit-stand workstation. I make sure that I walk to the kitchen and get my coffee, and I walk back. Sometimes on these days I walk outside. Certainly there's not the collaboration simply because there's nobody to collaborate with except my dog. But we collaborate outside on the porch. But movement is you know, you should take advantage of any kind of movement you can within the house. So it's no different there in terms of looking at good workstation setup and something that might be in your Charlotte office that's mainstream. But they should commit to you, I guess, the resources to do that too.
For possibly something like a Vary desk,
yeah.
Or something like that.
Or an Ergotron, Vary desk, any of the hybrids that are out there.
So, Al, what do you think about the apps that sort of things that remind you to get up and stretch or walk around or something like that?
As long as you listen to them. I mean, there are many people wearing Fitbits that, you know, and they go, well, it hasn't worked for a while or, you know, but there is one called Stand Up that I sometimes suggest that simply beeps and tells you to stand up. And you can set it for that particular GPS location. You can set it for the hours, when you want to get up, when you want to sit down. And as I tell folks, it's a guideline. Because you may be in the midst of something that requires you to sit. We find that spreadsheets with numbers work much better when you're sitting than when you're standing. So you may want to finish that, and you may get a buzz or a little dingle from your app, and you might say, oh, I'll do it the next time. And when it happens, you realize, two have passed, and you'll stand up. So as long as the reminder just doesn't become an unconscious noise in the back, kind of like we have a clock in our house that rings every hour on the hour, I don't hear it. But anybody that visits says, I heard 1 o'clock, I heard 2, I heard 3, and I heard 4 in the morning.
Jennifer, one thing we added to our space was lighting that follows our circadian rhythm. And so even though we have a ton of natural light in our space, because we're in Maine, we all know in November at 4 o'clock, doesn't matter how many big windows you have, it's dark out. So our lighting actually adjusts to how much light, it's sensing how much light is outside or in the space. And that lighting is now available for home use. We actually had a kind of mini experiment because when we were in our temporary space, I was in a tiny closet with 3 colleagues all sitting at a desk similar to this, and we were all getting headaches. And then we put in our circadian rhythm lighting and the headaches started going away. So anything you can do at home, like Al was saying, to just encourage either your employer or yourself to take action to just create a healthy space.
Is that reasonably priced?
It is. We got a lovely commercial discount from them, which was great. This has been used in the Chilean mine disaster to make sure the poor miners were not going insane. So hopefully that's not what's happening in our office. But yeah,
well, it's interesting. Yeah. Those light bulbs were created by NASA for
that's
NASA
right.
for use in space travel and in the shuttles. But you can buy those light bulbs. They screw into any fixture, standard fixture.
So it's a bulb, not the fixture. You can just buy that bulb for a lamp that's on your desk.
You can. They have some fixtures as well, but generally there's a whole product line of light bulbs that you can choose from.
So I go to a search engine and type in circadian rhythm light bulbs, and I will have what I need?
Yeah. The manufacturer we use was Lighting Science Group. And it's accessible online. You can order them from online. You don't have to go to a retailer.
Okay. And it doesn't make people sleepy toward the end of the day, Kate?
No, it seems to work great.
Okay, great.
No, we installed a couple in our office as well, and we noticed the difference. It's pretty interesting.
We'll go to Dave calling from Yarmouth. Hi, Dave. Go ahead.
Yeah, I worked with a company that moved to an open office environment. But the officers of the company, the CEO, CFO, and a few others, kept their offices. And it seemed to affect buy-in to the whole open office environment. And I was curious what you folks have to say about that. I can take my answer off the air.
Interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that that's a difficult transition to make. And I think there's some people that still require privacy and private conversations throughout the day. We worked hard with the Nature Conservancy, for one, to try and minimize that by creating a good number of options for places where they can break away and go to very quick private space to make a call. But there are still needs that happen where, people are dealing with financial information or private information that can't spread, so there are still needs. And I think Kate could probably, talk about that a bit more with her as it relates to the Nature Conservancy.
Yeah, that was a lot of the process that we went through. And one of the things I really learned is how both Al and Harry talked about this, how people work differently. And it was really important for me as the executive to understand that some people really are spending their days working on data sheets or, in our case, mapping. And it's really important they're not interrupted. So while they're not in a private office, they're in what I now call our library space, because it is a quieter wing of the office where versus some of the other staff that are, working with fishermen or working with foresters, that they want to exchange stories all the time. And so it was important to give people different types of space, even though the cubes are similar in design. And as I mentioned, there are a few private offices. I resisted. They did put me in one, it helps for quick meetings. Mm-hmm. But what was nice is I used to have the quintessential corner office that blocked light from all my colleagues. And now I'm away from the window because I don't need that kind of light because I'm usually out and about.
Oh, interesting. And Harry, I think that this is interesting because I'm guessing, and tell me if this is right, as an architect, you're going in and having different kinds of conversations with your clients than architects 10 or 20 years ago did when they were looking at an office space. I mean, you're talking about things like hierarchy and collaboration and many meetings.
Yeah, absolutely. I can remember 20 years ago, I worked in Hartford and worked on a lot of insurance companies. And we found, that was the sort of the old office setup where, the higher up people were in offices, and then, the worker bees were in cubicles, but they were all internalized within the office. So we were trying at that time to break that thought a bit, but it was very difficult. And it's difficult to make that change and transformation now as well. We worked with a workplace ecologist on the layout for TNC, and there was a lot of discussions about change management and how you have to change the way that you think when you move from a walled office environment to an open workspace environment. And it's good to hear the positive input now after they've moved in. And as people, you know, 1 year into it, are getting more comfortable and adapting to the change, they're realizing that it's been beneficial.
And I know Dave's left, but, you know, we're also dealing with a pretty diverse workforce here today. I mean, in terms of age, we have the oldest workforce in the nation. Our average working age is 47 and a half years old, but we have millennials also. And millennials are probably a little bit more used to the collaborative space. The cool thing is with the new designs that are coming out, there's a lot more excitement there. We have young folks at Mimic. I know places that when they come to work, they're asking, do I have the ability to collaborate and move around? And you have folks that old habits just die hard. So you may have those more conservative industries. And I see it in the banking, the insurance, that's us, the law firms, that there's still somewhat of that need for those corner offices. But those barriers are slowly dropping, and folks are beginning to see the value of the more collaborative space.
We have to take another quick break, but first a word about tomorrow's program. We have Maine folk band, the Ghost of Paul Revere, here in the studio tomorrow. Something special. They're going to play music and talk about their work and what it's like to appear on national programs. Email your comments or questions to talk at Maine Public, tweet or post to our Facebook page, or give us a call. And you can call about today's program. We're talking about the new workplace. 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do the Maine Health Cancer Care Network. World-class cancer care right here in the place that gives strength, home. And Finance Authority of Maine, working for Maine by helping businesses grow jobs and families reach their higher education goals. FameMaine.com. And InSource Renewables, collaborating with Backyard Buildings on the Maine Solar Structures product line. Learn more at MainSolarStructures.com.
From around the world,
this is Nizar from the BBC World.
Across the nation,
it's Morning Edition from NPR.
And here at home,
from Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ed Morin.
Maine Public Radio brings you news you can trust. We're committed to providing a valued and essential public service. It's at the heart of everything we do, connecting our communities and the world through a greater awareness and understanding of events, ideas, and cultures. Maine Public. Every day, it's
insightful.
It's thorough.
It's personal.
Fearless.
Every day, it's independent.
Support your public radio station on Super Thursday this Thursday or right now at mainepublic.org. Thank you. President Trump is scheduled to make an announcement at 2 o'clock this afternoon as to whether or not the United States will leave the Iran nuclear deal. Maine Public Radio will offer a special live NPR coverage this event again starting at 2 o'clock. Our previously scheduled 2 o'clock public affairs program will be rescheduled. President Trump has called the deal an embarrassment and the worst deal in history. The 2015 deal is officially known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action and was the result of complex negotiations between Iran and six world powers, the United States, France, Germany, the UK, China, and Russia. The deal lengthened the time that Iran would need for nuclear breakout, ensuring that Iran could not rush to build a nuclear bomb undetected.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, how today's office spaces, more accurately, workspaces, are changing. Joining me today, Harry Hepburn with the Bryburn Architecture, Al Brown with Mimic, and Kate Dempsey with the Nature Conservancy. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Joining me on the line now, Sarah Karen. She is the well-being program manager for IDEX. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
I understand IDEX has already put a lot of workspace changes into place. What kind of things have you been doing?
Yeah, this is something they've been doing for years, actually. A lot of these great things that have been talked about today. But one of the things that I actually wanted to focus on that I think is a little bit different is just the opportunity to connect. And so they've really built their environment in a way that allows employees to connect, and that really fosters collaboration and innovation that IDEX is so good at.
I read that at IDEX, the research and development and manufacturing are in the same space. Such an interesting idea.
Yeah, and that's exactly one of those examples. They intentionally co-located those, so there was that opportunity for them to connect, and that's where innovation happens.
Is there anything that hasn't worked out as planned that you changed and thought, you know what, that's just not right for us?
No, nothing that I can really, think of that hasn't worked out. One thing that I'd say has maybe worked out even better than we thought was just going beyond the collaboration and innovation. From my perspective, from a well-being perspective, I would say social connectedness is really important. That's actually one of our pillars here. And so all of this collaboration has really led to more and more social connectedness, and that's not only good for the collaboration, but it's actually really good for your health as well.
So I understand it's about 2 years since the big changes were made. What kind of difference have you seen in your workplace?
So honestly, I have actually been here for about a year and a half, so I can't specifically speak to those changes I've personally seen. But from a business perspective, I know that IDEX has just continued to thrive and continue to do well as a business. And I think that speaks a lot to this innovation.
What advice would you have for another company thinking about changing its entire, not just work space, but workflow?
I think there's been a lot of really great examples that have been shared. And so since, I'm kind of focusing on this social connectedness piece, I think, anywhere that you can provide those opportunities for your employees to come together, to have spaces to collaborate, I would say to absolutely work that in whenever possible.
All right. Well, Sarah, thanks for calling in. That's Sarah Caron, Well-Being Program Manager for IDEX. Lori on Facebook writes, I'm curious if Harry ever incorporates temporary partitions in his design of these open offices to allow more flexible arrangements.
That's a good question. We've considered them. We haven't used a lot of them. Although they've been considered, I think that, when we're developing office space, oftentimes we look at flexibility being a really important feature in the development of the space and making it flexible enough that as the needs change, that the space can also change. So the idea of having these movable partitions is really a benefit. It just you have to weigh the cost and determine if it's feasible.
We'll go to Kai, who's calling from Phippsburg. Hi, Kai. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, and thank you. Listen, several things. Number one, Walter Gropius, the founder of the Bauhaus, already developed or built a complete factory out of glass for the employees from Lilienthal Manufacturing. And the other thing is... Kaiser Shipyard and Prince Albert Cigars also had on-site daycare. And my personal contribution would be wider windowsills so that you have space for plants. And from personal experience, two boatyards where I've worked that had the workstations right at a picture window was wonderful by comparison to other places. So that's it.
All right. Thanks, Kai. And I'm glad you brought that up because, Alan, that's something you want to talk about. You love windows, but.
Oh, yeah. I went down the path of biophilia. I was all excited about that with the wider windowsills for biophilia. We were talking about lighting earlier, and I wanted to reflect, so to speak, that lighting is great, but it has to be appropriately placed because too often do I go into some new designs, redesigns, that the lighting is in the person's face. And usually if you're sitting at your workstation and you look just above you and out ahead just a bit, and if you see a light bulb there and it's shining, if you shade your eyes, you might find it's much easier to see your screens. So we call that discomfort glare. It's kind of like driving at night and those high beams are coming at you from the other car. So when you look at what the gentleman just mentioned was, it's nice to have your workbench in front of a window. Workbench, yes, because you want to see what's in front of you. Computer, no, because it makes it very difficult to see. It becomes silhouetted and very difficult to see the screen.
All right, Kai, yeah. Thanks so much for calling and sharing your thoughts. Dylan on Facebook writes, what we are seeing in office redesign is the physical manifestation of the pushback against scientific management and the idea of the hierarchy, thinkers versus doers, and other relics of the Industrial Revolution. Such archaic ideas are out of place in our modern knowledge economy. It is exciting to see these changes taking place. Kate, is that how you think about it?
It wouldn't have occurred to me to think about it that way, but I appreciate the comment. One thing we do think about, though, is the IDEX caller talked about connectedness, social connectedness. And in Maine, we are in a unique ecosystem in which we have our forests, our rivers and streams, our coast and our ocean so integrated. And I think that sense of connectedness that the person who just wrote in about is really important, because more and more we all know that ideas come from a diversity of people in the office. Nobody owns an idea. And the more we can have connectedness, whether it's in our ecosystems or in our office places, the better we're going to be.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
And I just have to say, Kai is an awesome craftsman himself. So that's why I was
smiling.
You
know Kai?
So shout out to Kai in Phippsburg.
We have another call from Phippsburg. We're going to go to Patricia, who's calling from Phippsburg. Hi, Patricia. Do you know Kai?
No, I do not know Kai, but I sure wish I did if he's a terrific craftsman. But anyway, the reason why I called in today is because I'm excited about the focus on the workplace, and I'm excited about the energies being spent on what works and doesn't work. But I'm curious when this would, so to speak, lean in towards the education forum and the education space for children and colleges alike. And if we could get the young ones used to being comfortable in their environments and the social interactions and the sharing of ideas, like, we still have fluorescent lighting in these big, open, horrible spaces, quite frankly.
All right. Well, Harry, what's your thinking about how school? I know there are a lot of schools that have had experimental designs. Open classrooms were a trend when I was a kid. They're kind of noisy. But the fluorescent lights, that's a pretty good point.
Yeah, well, I think, sustainability has taken a pretty important role in development of all types of spaces nowadays. And the schools are one of them. So, oriented in the building so that you get good natural light, creating openness within the classrooms, and creating a strong relationship between indoor and outdoor spaces. Those are things that carry over in educational spaces, in business spaces, all types of spaces. So, and in addition to that, creating flexible spaces where you can break out and you can get away. They all go
instead
hand in hand.
Instead of working on your project out in the hallway?
Yeah, yeah. And, we talk about lighting. Natural lighting is important, but you're always going to have the artificial lighting. So creating a good mix of up and down lighting, which so that you're not getting the glare, nice volume of spaces that don't feel claustrophobic.
Al, do you do work in schools?
Some, yes, but more with the administration. But to that point, get back to James Levine from the Mayo Clinic. They're doing a lot of research on that, and they're looking at more mobile rooms that allow more movement within them. They have a thing called a wiggle bar that for kids that can stand and put their foot on the little wiggle bar, and it just goes back and forth. But it's something that they're finding becoming very valuable, and there's actually research showing, in terms of obesity and leanness and the impact on that with just allowing more movement within the classroom. They actually, within the school, create a movement room, and then they rotate the kids out of their room into the movement room for a learning session. So there is actually some research out there that points to the value of that, started very early on in life.
Oh, sure. Anybody who's had a wiggly first grader or second grader can understand why that might be important. Patricia, thanks so much for your call. We'll go right up the road to Harpswell and Greta. Hi, Greta. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask the panel their thoughts on the use of technology tools in the workplace, and specifically around collaboration. We've talked a lot about that today. Do you feel that the market is saturated with these tools? Are they effective? Do they increase efficiency? And what is it an improvement in the you know, the workforce's capacity overall? And I'll take
credit. But I'm wondering what you mean by technology tools specifically.
Sure. Well, to give a few examples, things that will make it easier for coworkers to either collaborate online. So things, for example, like Google Sheets or Google Documents, where you can comment and make suggestions with your coworkers to kind of facilitate the process of completing a document. There are also programs like Slack, which is more for real-time conversations on certain topics rather than in lieu of things like email.
Sure.
Thoughts
from you all, Kate?
Well, the caller also earlier had asked about remote staff. And so we really do encourage, since we have staff all over the state, we do use technology to make sure we can, and part of the design of our space was making sure there was a screen in every breakout space so that we could get someone on the computer on a video so that we see them live and we have more of that interaction. Certainly collaborative tools are better and better. And as Al mentioned, our younger colleagues are just use them automatically. So it's more of those of us who are a little bit older who still have to learn that email isn't the only answer.
I like email.
My daughter refers to it as a carrier pigeon. So that's...
Oh, no. That's terrible. Greta, thanks so much for your call. Al, I can't go without asking a question from our producer, Cindy Hahn. You know about the app that sounds like a coffee shop. And what do you think about it? No? Kate, you're nodding. Do you know about this?
Well, Harry's team taught us about noise. We all get really scared of noise. But in fact, it's probably like a newsroom. If there's a little bit of background noise, you're able to focus. So think about when you go into a coffee shop with your laptop, you actually can concentrate because you don't know the people around you in that case, but you're able to focus.
I guess it would be white noise, wouldn't
it? Yeah, white noise, yeah.
Unless
you
like your coffee black.
Well, it becomes more and more important when you have a large open office space, too, to have some background noise that sort of breaks down that sort of feeling that, oh my God, if someone's listening in on my conversation next door, when you've got some other noise that sort of, you know, that you can hear that sort of breaks down that.
All right. Well, thank you all. What an interesting conversation about the changing workplace. Harry Hepburn, who you just heard, architect and principal at Briburn. Kate Dempsey's here, executive director of the Nature Conservancy in Maine. And Al Brown, director of ergonomics at MEMIC, focusing on workplace safety. Sandra Harris ran the board today. Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn are the producers of Maine Calling. Today's program will be broadcast again tonight at 8. If you'd like to learn more about this program or any other, or listen to one that is in the archives, you can go to mainecalling.org. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.